Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
All right, guys, we're on a series called Squad Goals. And this is all about your connections. This is all about the connections you have in your squad, the people around you, the people you connect with. And, you know, the interesting thing about creation is when God started the whole thing off, you know, he created the chicken and he said, the chicken is good. And I say the chicken's good, too, because I like chicken. I do. Chicken's good. Yeah. And he created the cow, and he said, the cow is good. And I agreed with him. I said, the cow is good. The chicken and the cow. He said he made the pig. And he said, the pig is good. And I say the pig, the bacon. It's good. Do you know, he made like the rutabaga and said it's good. And he made the giraffe and he said it's good. And the salamander, like, why? Why is that? I don't know, but it's good. But then it says he created man, and he looked at man, and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created the first correction to his creation was companionship. The first correction God made to creation was relationship, to create relationship. See, Adam had God. It was God and Adam. It was just the two of them, and God's okay. But he realized Adam needed more than God could provide. He needed relationship with others. And John 17, this is just, as Jesus was getting to return, as he was preparing to return to the Father, knew his time on earth was running short. It's interesting that Jesus' concern, his prayer for his disciples, his concern for his disciples, he said, I have prayed for you. And basically, to sum it up, he said, I have prayed for you that you will experience deep and rich relationships with one another and with God the way I have experienced deep and rich relationship with the Father. His concern was not for their prosperity or their provision or their safety. His concern, what he prayed for, was their relationships. He prayed for their connections. He prayed for the way they would be connected to one another and to the Father. And that's what church is. It's not bricks and mortar. Even though we're building the building, that's not actually the church. The connection is the church. We build the building to help facilitate the connections. And so the church is our connections. And I just want to say this, your relationships not only influence the direction of your life, but they also influence the richness of your life. They also determine the richness of your life. And you know, sociologists, they talk about different kinds of poverty. And the poverty that most of us would think of when we say, oh, these people are living in poverty, the first thing we think of is material poverty. We think, oh, they don't have enough to eat, or they don't have clothes to wear, they can't afford a car, or they can't do that. That's typically in our mindsets, that's what we think of poverty. But sociologists actually talk about different kinds of poverty. They talk about material poverty, and you know, you travel to a third world country and you discover material poverty that is completely different than what we would consider material poverty. We don't even know what material poverty is. You take how bad, the worst that the situation you can find, and it still does not even come close to some of these places. But there's more than that. There's spiritual poverty and emotional poverty. There's, you know, the Western world has all kinds of material excess, yet we're bankrupt of hope. You know, we got stuff, but it's like stuff is just occupying us until it's over. It's like, how can we entertain ourselves till we die? That's an emotional poverty. We lack hope. We lack significance. There's also, the sociologists talk about relational poverty, where we can have all sorts of people around us all the time. We have hundreds of friends on social media. Yet nobody who knows us intimately. Nobody that we're connected with deeply. Western culture is an isolated culture. It's an isolating culture. It causes us to withdraw. One author said, every human carries hurts or scars or wounds, and our tendency since the fall is to hide as if our life depended on it. This is exactly wrong. Our life depends on getting found, and there's no healing in the hiding. What a great quote. There's no healing in the hiding. You know, one of my more dramatic encounters with material poverty happened when we were, Monica and I were visiting, we were in the Dominican Republic visiting, many of you would know, but you may not know, as a church we sponsor hundreds of children in the Dominican Republic through Compassion Canada. And Compassion Canada gave us a call and said, we would like to take you to visit these projects in the Dominican Republic. You can visit your children. We got to meet all of our sponsor children while we were there. And they call us and they say, in February, would you like to go to the Dominican Republic if we take you? And it's like, well, let me think about that. Okay. But there was, as we're going, we're visiting families, and we're not just visiting them at the centers. We're seeing these centers where they gather, but we're actually going into their homes and visiting these people. And as we're going into these homes, it's shocking, guys. It's shocking that we're visiting one single mother. She's got a baby on her hip. And we're walking in as we're walking down the road, and we're walking kind of through this path into trees. This, her house has been made up of trees that have been cut down and tied together, you know, kind of like a stick frame, and then corrugated galvanized metal has been leaned up against it and kind of attached to this tree frame. The floor is completely dirt and clay. Her toilet is a hole in the corner. And that's her living room and kitchen as well. And, you know, it's a little overwhelming. You know, she had running water. It was outside in a hose that 100 people share. And you're thinking, we complain at home so often. And so it gets a little overwhelming when you're in these environments that you realize how much we have compared to how much most of the world has. And the interpreter caught, he's picking up on, you know, he's picking up on this, and he says, you know, they do live in poverty, but don't for a second think that they're not happy. Don't think that they're not happy. So they're connected. They're families. They're all together as families. They help one another. They support one another. They're relationally, the relationships, they're connected. They're relationally and spiritually rich. And in fact, I would go after you interact with them, you realize they're probably relationally and spiritually richer than we are. And if you were to be able to kind of walk through the spirit world and visit us in our homes, we would have a little toilet in the corner and clay floors. And spiritually speaking, as a culture, we're living in tree shacks with metal propped up against the sides. You know, they live with a richness in their life relationally, and a richness spiritually that is oftentimes missing in our culture. And it's interesting. I was reading an article. It was interviewing people who had won over $1 million in the lottery, like large sums of money in the lottery. And just about every single person in this interview made the comment, when we won the lottery, we lost our friends. when we won the lottery, we lost our friends. And it's funny how there's almost seems to be like a balance that we hope for material richness, but it actually leads to relational poverty. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I think in Western culture, relational poverty has become epidemic in our culture. We can have hundreds of friends, yet no one that we would say we're intimate with. And here's a great question to think about is, what if it's not something that's missing in our lives, but it's someone? What if the answer to prayer isn't something that would come to us, but it would actually be someone who comes to us? What if our Western desire for more stuff is actually blinding us to our actual need of more connection? Wow, Mike, you started heavy. You know, we've kind of stolen a saying from North Point Church in south of us, and we talk about this all the time. Is, you know, there's two ways of doing church. One is in circles, and one is in rows. And this is rows. This is what we, you know, every week we gather together and we get in rows. And rows are good. There's great things that happen in rows. But, you know, there's another aspect of connection that happens in circles. And that's when we get together in, you know, not huge gatherings, but small gatherings, intimate gatherings, gatherings where you get to talk. I'm not going to let you talk here. But in these gatherings, you get to talk. So for those of you who love to talk, you know what? Circles are for you. But that's there. You know, life happens in circles. In circles, you can hide in rows. But in circles, you get found. You know, when you're in a row, if you're struggling, nobody knows you're struggling in a row. You could be here devastated, and the person sitting next to you doesn't know anything's going wrong. But in circles, your whole circle knows when you're hurting. Your whole circle knows when something's wrong. There's things that happen in our lives that happen in circles that don't happen anywhere else in our lives. And I would even go as far as to say our circles determine the course of our life. When you want your life to look, or whatever you want your life to look like, or wherever you want your life to be heading, a circle will make the difference in whether or not you get there. It will greatly increase your chance of success as to whether or not you get there. And, you know, something happens to us when we get around certain people. I love the proverb. It says, Proverbs 13:20, it says, he who walks with the wise becomes. Yeah, you don't even have to go to school, people. This is encouraging, especially if you hate school. All you have to do to become wise in areas of your life is get around people who are wise in those areas. And it rubs off. It's contagious. Right? Unfortunately, foolishness is contagious as well. So be careful of your circles. You know, there's something... When you want something to change in your life, whether it's like something as simple as the way you eat, or your physical fitness, or your emotional life, or your marriage, or your friendships, or whatever area, even your career, your chances of success in changing those areas goes up greatly if you get around people who are headed the same direction, who are wanting to go that same direction. And you know, if you want to breathe new life into areas of your life, get around people who are pursuing that same goal. Your chances of succeeding go up greatly. See, something happens. Course corrections happen to us when we come together. Course corrections happen in our lives. Proverbs 27 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another friend. There's something that happens in our lives as we interact together, as we're working to go forward, we kind of take the rough edges off each other. We kind of, you know, we get a broader perspective. God will speak to us through others. And oftentimes, the answers that we're seeking aren't things, but they're actually relationships that God wants to bring to our life. And sometimes I think that we're looking for something to be an answer to prayer when God is wanting to provide someone as an answer to prayer. He's wanting to bring a relationship. When he looked at Adam, and Adam was by himself, just working it out by himself, God said, this isn't good. He needs relationship. He needs companionship. And in our lives where we're struggling alone, I can tell you right now, God's looking at those areas and saying, this isn't good. You need relationship. You need companionship. You need people going the same direction. I want to look at the life of David. Unfortunately, I do not have a lot of time, so I'm going to give you a Cole's Notes version of King David here. But David had some key relationships in his life that altered the course of his life. And these are the same kind of relationships that we need to have in our life as well to really succeed as we go forward. And King David was a king, apparently. If you were a Jewish boy or a Jewish girl, you'd know exactly who King David is. He's the most famous king in all of Israel, in all of history. But he had kind of a slow start, and some interesting things happened in his life. There's this case where Samuel, who was a prophet, he called Jesse, who was David's father, to gather all of his sons together because he said, God is going to pick the next king from among your sons. And so he calls, he sends a word to Jesse, gather your sons together. I'm going to come and appoint the new king of Israel. And here's an idea, like to give you an idea of kind of what people thought or what his family thought of David is Jesse gathered all his sons together, but they just left David out in the field to take care of the sheep and didn't bother to, like, invite him in. Like, this is Samuel the prophet. It's like, this guy's a rock star. Like this is, he's famous. In the whole land of Israel, people would be in awe and scared at the same time to be around Samuel the prophet. This is a big deal. It's like Connor McDavid is coming to your house. And you think, I'm not even going to invite my uncle over to meet him. Like, this is a big... Even if David was insignificant, why would you leave him in the field when the rock star is at your... Like, Samuel the prophet is at your house. You'd want David to at least meet him. Be able to say at school, I met Samuel. Like... Think about this for a minute. It's like your friend has Connor McDavid over and he can't even bother to invite you over to meet him. This is insulting to David. Okay, I'm taking way too long for this. But the first relationship that David had was Samuel. The first important relationship, this was key. And Samuel was a prophet, as you may have gathered from what I was saying. Samuel was a prophet. When Samuel met Jesse's family, he said, there's like, the king isn't here. Do you have another son? And then they brought David in, and Samuel's first response was, David, there's nothing special about him. And then God said to Samuel, this is the next king. This young man has a heart after me, and he's going to be the next king of Israel. And we all need a Samuel, a prophet, somebody who can see us the way God sees us. Somebody who sees in us things we don't see in ourselves. People who see a future for us that's better than the future that we see for ourselves. People who will speak to that. People who are smarter, who are wiser, and they have more experience. Someone who will see a better future for us and encourage us towards that future. These are the prophets, and I don't want to use the word in a weird way, but basically with a prophet, it's they see something that others don't see, and they will encourage you and speak you towards that future. The second kind of relationship that was vital in David's life and this was a protector, and this was Jonathan. And Jonathan was the son of David's mortal enemy. Jonathan's father, his name was Saul, who was, at when David was appointed king, was actually the reigning king over Israel. And Saul saw David as a threat, and he wanted to kill David, but Jonathan loved David. And Jonathan basically took David and snuck him out of the city and said, you need to get to a place of safety. And in your life, you need people around you who are who will be your protector. Jonathan was a peer. Jonathan was an equal. But Jonathan cared about his safety. Jonathan cared about the safety of David and he saw the danger to David and took steps to protect him from it. And we need people around us that see the dangers of the stages of life we're in. They see the danger of the decisions that we could be making or the danger of where we might be going and say, hey, you need to take steps to protect yourself in this area. And then the third kind of relationship that was vital to David's life, and this was an interesting one because this came out of a really kind of bad situation. And this was Nathan. And I'm going to call Nathan, even though the Bible calls him a prophet, I'm going to call him a pastor. Because Nathan, you know, he was a spiritual advisor to David who saw what was he saw what was wrong in David, and he confronted it with love. And what happened with David, just to give you the backstory here, is, you know, David had sent his armies off to war, and David was just kind of just relaxing at home, and he was, you know, sunbathing on the roof. It's nice. Day like today, nice and warm. I'm just going to go up and get a tan on the roof. And he looks over, and his neighbor, she's getting a tan on her roof too, except she is not wearing any clothes. And she's a bit of a hottie. So he sends for, this is Bathsheba, he sends for Bathsheba to be brought over to his roof. Why would you do this, David? Stupid, stupid David. And of course, we know what happens, or maybe you don't, and you're waiting for me to tell you. Nature happened. That's what happened. And, you know, they ended up sleeping together. She ends up a few weeks later sending a message to David saying, I'm with child. And David's like, oh, dang. And so what he does is he calls for her husband to be brought from back home from the battlefield under, you know, basically under whatever reason that we need to consult. And he tells her husband Uriah, he says, go back to your home and be with your wife. And then he finds out later that Uriah slept on the porch. And he's like, what are you doing? And Uriah says, well, all of my men are at battle and they don't get to sleep with their wives, so I'm not going to sleep with my wife either. And it's like, great, we have a nobleman here. So David, you know, coming clean or anything like this, what David does is he sends Uriah back to battle with a note to his commander saying, put Uriah in the battle where the fighting is the fiercest. And the commander puts Uriah at the front of the battle. Well, Uriah is killed in the next battle. And so here's David, who's, you know, basically looked at his coveted his neighbor's wife. He's committed adultery with his neighbor's wife. And then he just killed his neighbor. This is not like problem management solutions 101 here. We would not call this functional behavior. This is a problem. And David, after Uriah is killed in battle, David just brings Bathsheba into his home. He's still hiding all of this. So Nathan comes to David and says, David, we have a problem. There is a man in your lands who is rich. He has hundreds of cattle, hundreds of sheep. He's got lands. He's got wealth. He's got riches. And then there's this poor farmer beside him, and he just has like a sheep and a goat. And this rich man saw this poor farmer's sheep and his goat, and he took it for himself. And David said, David is angry, and he says, "Who is this man? He needs to be put to death." And Nathan looks at David and says, "You're this man." And this is where some of the most profound changes come out of David's life. And this is David, instead of trying to hide any longer, he finally makes it right. This is where Psalms 51 is written, right after this encounter. If you want to read that during your weekly readings. This is the spiritual advisor who saw what was broken in David and helped him to get it fixed. This is the friend who cares about your spirit. They don't care what your bonus at work was. They don't care how you're, you know, how they care, but what they really care about is how are you doing on the inside? How's your heart? How's your life? How many times would great problems be avoided in our life if we had friends like a Nathan around us who stops to say, "How's your heart? How's what's going on the inside of your life?" This is the friend who's looking out for you. And you know, this is the friend who's also looking out for those around you. Nathan wasn't about David. It was about the danger to a nation if David was allowed to continue that way unchecked. This is the friend who cares enough about us to be straight with us. "Hey, what you're doing, it's not wise." We need these types of friends in our lives. We need the Samuels who see the potential in us that we don't see in ourselves, who will steer us in a healthy direction. We need the Jonathans who will keep us safe, who see the danger around us. But, you know, we also need the Nathans who will see what's wrong in us and help us get it dealt with, help us get to a place of health. And I'll tell you one thing, you won't find any of those friends in rows. You won't find them in rows. They're in the rows, but you won't find them in the rows. You'll find them in the circles. You'll find them in the gatherings where you get together and you get to talk. Monica made a great statement in her message a couple weeks ago. Nothing drifts into a state of improvement. You have to be intentional about improving things. And I want to encourage you, when it comes to connection, when it comes into your relationships, when it comes into the areas of your life you're wanting to see changed, you have to get intentional about getting connected. You have to get intentional. You won't drift into a place of health. So where do you start? Well, a great place to start is probably the advice your mom and your kindergarten teacher gave you. To have a friend, you have to be a friend. You know, the first place to start is just get in a group. Get in with people. Your connections can lead to change, and lack of them can lead to more of the same. You're just a connection away from that change that you've been seeking. You might just be a connection away from that new career you've been looking for. You might just be a connection away from that marriage that you wanted to have. You might just be a connection away from being the parent that you've always wanted to be. You might just be a connection away from being physically healthy. You might just be a connection away from a vibrant spiritual life. Find your people. Find your people. People are like gold. You have to go digging. You have to go looking. And we have all sorts of little gold mines that you can go digging in the church. And I want to encourage you, you can get signed up for Connect Groups on the app. You can get signed up. I think there's going to be people going around and signing people up in the, is it next service or next week? Something's going to happen. you'll be able to do that. You can go on the app as well. But I want to get, there is a whole bunch of different Connect groups that happen during the week. There's the men's group, guys, grub and games. There's guys movie night. That's, imagine this, JD's actually involved with that. Can you imagine that? There's the Edmonton moms group. There's moms night out. There's a couple snack chat. That's a little witty, isn't it? Snack chat. Get it? Snack chat. I'll bet there's food. There's a business leadership breakfast. There's a games night. There's gentle flow yoga and hangout. Gentle flow. It's gentle. They'll be gentle with you. There's a volleyball crew. You can join me 5:30 Monday to Fridays at CrossFit. Any takers? Any takers? 5:30 a.m. Yes. You can, and you can join Jesse occasionally there. There's actually a lot of us that go there at 5:30. It's fun. You guys are sounding excited about this. Yeah, these are just more like social groups, but there's also another group. And don't get me wrong, social is important. Like, so your social life's an important part of your life. And then there's these groups that we call these grow groups, and these are groups that are study based, so you're going to learn some stuff. Authentic Manhood, A Man in His Design. I was absolutely shocked at how good that was. We did that last year at the gathering. And I would encourage you guys, if you're wanting something that will change your perspective on the world, this Authentic Manhood, A Man in His Design will do that. There's a men's discussion night, men's strength group, women's strength group. These are all in Edmonton and in Leduc. There's the couples choose your own adventure. Don't know what that is, but I bet it's interesting. Couples digging deeper. There's a group for parenting teens. There's a co-ed strength group. There's soup in a bun. Don't know what that is, but it sounds great. Wednesday night, the gathering. There's a number of groups that meet there. And stay tuned to the app as well, because there's more groups that have yet to be announced. They just weren't ready yet as of the time of that. But I want to encourage you. And just leave you with this last thought, is that many of the answers to prayer you're looking for aren't going to be things. They're going to be people. And you're not going to find the answers in something. You're going to find them oftentimes in someone. It's going to be a connection that will come to your life. It'll be a relationship that will come to your life. And God can bring massive change through the people and connections we make. Let's stand up. And I want to encourage you. You know, many of you know who your Samuels and your Jonathans and your Nathans have been. But I want to encourage you as well. You are also somebody else's Jonathan, or somebody else's Nathan, or somebody else's Samuel. And sometimes the reason you need to be connected is because you are the answer to someone else's prayer as well. You've got something that will make their life better because you took the time to get connected. And so I want us to just pray. We just put our hands on our hearts and just pray, Lord. We can just all pray together. Lord, help me to see where I need to be connected. Help me to see those that I need to be connected to, that I can be the answer to prayer to others and experience others as an answer to my prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to just pray one more time here, and this is just a prayer saying yes to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've never actually said yes to him, or said yes to his plan or his purpose, and you're thinking, you know what, I'd like to say yes to what Jesus has for my life. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if you're here today and you want to be included in that, you can just join me and join us as we pray. Let's pray together. Jesus, I say yes to you, to your plan and your purpose for my life. Come into my life now. I want to follow you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's great.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.